Well, this morning, I want to welcome you to Grace Church. This is Grace Church. So this morning, I'm going to share a message with you about the community of grace. We are a community of grace. I mean, a church is where there's a gathering of those who have been saved by grace. It's not a gathering of religious people, not a gathering of self-righteous people, right? Not a gathering of perfect people, definitely not. No, it's a gathering of people that have been saved by the grace of God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now see, I can sing those words quite honestly. I used to be a wretch. I don't know what my wife is thinking when she's singing, saved a wretch like me. She was never a wretch. She was a good little girl. But a lot of us out here, we can see we were a wretch. We remember. But here's the thing. But for the grace of God, that's what we would all be, hopelessly lost. How wonderful is His grace toward us because of Jesus. In John 1:14, the scripture says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This verse tells us that He was full of grace and truth. I think that kind of confuses some people because they think that grace and truth are kind of opposites, like they work against each other, you know. Jesus must have been 50% grace and 50% truth. No, He was full of grace and He was full of truth. And we need to understand that. See, when I was a kid, well, in this world, there's a lot of people that have their own version of the truth, right? If y'all met any of these people, well, they're all around you. Some of you sitting here. You know, they got their own version of the truth. Now, when I was a kid, we called that make-believe. But now, here's the thing. You can believe anything. Just anything you want to. You can believe anything. That doesn't make it truth. We need the truth that is in Jesus. He said, "I am the truth." And I want you to know He's the source of truth. And we need the truth from Jesus. Because without that truth, we're hopelessly lost, hopelessly bound. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's when you know the truth of Jesus' word, that's when you become free. And part of the truth that we desperately need is that we desperately need God's grace. Because apart from His grace, again, we are hopelessly lost and bound. We desperately need the truth and we desperately need the grace of God. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to stay bound up in sin. We're supposed to be free. But truth is what sets free. And yet at the same time, with just truth alone, we can't really be free. It takes the grace of God working in our lives to change us. Grace. What is grace? I've heard preachers try to come up with all kinds of new definitions for the word grace. It's amazing to me how everybody always feels the need to have some new thing. I want to tell you the truths of this word. They're just as good now as they ever were. They're still life-changing. And the simple definition of grace is unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor, blessings from God. Grace is God treating us much better than we deserve. Amen. Thank God, right? Grace is Him showing us and giving us blessings that there's no way we could ever earn. That's God's grace. That grace comes to us because of the price that the Lord Jesus paid on the cross. It came at a very high price, the precious blood of Jesus. It didn't come cheap, but we got it for free. And you need to know this. It's free. It's grace. He paid the price. Ephesians 2:8 through 10, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, it is through his grace that he saves us, that he changes our lives. We don't have anything to boast about. Whatever we might become, whatever we might do in this world, it is still God's grace working in us. We are his workmanship. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we need to know that if we become anything for the Lord, it's by the grace of God. Anything that we accomplish that really matters in eternity, it's by the grace of God. It is not we ourselves that gets it done. No, it is God that saves us, it's God that changes us, and it's God that uses us all by his grace. We are his workmanship. And God's grace, you see, it is at work in us to forgive us, to restore us, to make us more than we could ever be on our own. See, if you say, I'm nothing and nobody, you are a perfect candidate for God to use. Because people that think, I got something to offer, they're going to be doing it all by themselves, because God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. We got to be constantly reminded of God's grace, because we live in a culture that's very works-minded. You see, y'all help me here just a little bit. I want you to complete these phrases for me, okay? We make money the old-fashioned way. Three of you. I don't know what the deal is. I guess everybody's afraid they're going to be wrong. I don't know. I know you can get this one, because I hear this one all the time. God helps those. Yeah. By the way, it's not a scripture. Quit acting like it's a scripture. It's not even a truth. God helps those who can't help themselves. He helps those who are humble. There's no verse of scripture or anything that says, well, God helps those who help them. Good grief. How about this one? No pain? Yeah, if you've worked out, you've heard that one. How about this one? Now, this one could go a couple of different ways, but you get what you deserve. That's one. How about this one? You get what you pay for. We all have heard these kinds of things. It's just part of our American way of life and work ethic. And I have a great appreciation for a good work ethic. I mean, the Bible makes it clear that laziness is a sin. Get what you deserve. You have to earn it. You do the crime, you do the time. Right? And there's a lot of these statements and attitudes that I certainly agree with. I'm for. I agree. In life in general. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we can't let any of those attitudes be in our heart. Because I got to tell you, you don't want to try to earn it with God. You know, I read in the Bible where Jesus talks about a guy who starts saying, well, I did this and I did this and I did this in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I'm just telling you, we can't stand before God and say, look what I've done. No, instead, we got to realize that it's always by the grace of God. You do the time, or you do the crime, you do the time. Oh my goodness. The wages of sin is death. We don't want to do that time, do we? We don't, because of the grace of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a gift available to us by God's grace. You can't earn it. It's a gift that He gives to us by His grace. Jesus, because of Jesus, paid the price for our sins. Even the ones we committed this morning. We all fall short of His glory. We all make mistakes. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. See, the works mentality is so strong. The moment we begin to think that we can deserve or that we can earn anything, we've fallen from grace. You know, we hear that phrase sometimes in the religious world, fallen from grace. But I almost always hear it when people are talking about somebody that's gotten away from the Lord and, you know, maybe they're not doing right. They have sin in their life. That's not at all what Paul was talking about when he wrote those words, fallen from grace. It's Galatians 5:4. He says, you have become estranged from Christ who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Oh, the ones that have fallen from grace were those that thought that they could earn it, that they could deserve it, that thought that they could be righteous because I'm good, because I do good things. We got to always remember that it is only by the grace of God. And he mentions something else there that happens to those who have fallen from grace. He said, you've become estranged from Christ. They're no longer close. You see, we took communion this morning, and I think it's wonderful when we just focus and remember what He did, the price that He paid. It keeps us in love with Jesus. We can't allow our eyes to get on ourselves and what we've done. It all has to be because of Jesus. You know, there's just no room for pride. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Pride always tries to work its way into religion. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Pride will keep you from grace. He gives grace to the humble. But many times in church, especially in church, people fall into kind of a religious pride where they think they're better than other people. Oh, I know I'm kind of messing with some of you right now because you're thinking, well, yeah, I go to church and I live for God. I'm better than those people. By the grace of God. I want to remind you of this. Jesus told about this Pharisee in Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you, I am not like other men. We got to be real careful about getting ourselves in pride. We sound like Pharisees. We still desperately need the grace of God every day in our life. We like to think we deserve some blessings, deserve some credit. No, pride just gets in the way of grace. And one of the ways that you can see pride often in the community of grace is here we are in the community of grace, and yet we try to hide all of our faults and flaws. Why? Pride is the main reason. The other part of that is that maybe we're apprehensive, we're afraid that people will judge us and treat us different. And so we hide, we try to hide our faults and flaws. But I want to tell you, in the community of grace, we are all saved by grace. We ought to be able to be real and honest and genuine with our brothers and sisters. I mean, we shouldn't act like we don't have any problems. Everybody's got problems. And I think sometimes, you know, we pretend and we consequently have to deal with it all on our own. We don't get any strength and help and prayer from our brothers and sisters because we pretend. I also think that the pretending becomes a stumbling block to the lost because we pretend like we don't have any problems. Here's the thing. Guess what? They know better. And when we pretend like we don't have any problems, it just makes us look like hypocrites. What we need to show to the world is that, yeah, we still have problems. We still have struggles. But by the grace of God, we're overcoming. And we have a church family. We have a community of grace where we pray for one another. We encourage one another. We help one another. We lift each other up. Yes, the world needs to know that about the church, that this is who we are. We got to communicate God's grace to the world, but also communicate to them that there is a community of grace where there's love and acceptance and there's help to overcome. Don't put on the church face. You know, sometimes the whole family does it. They're on the way to church and they have a big fight in the car. But then we're ready to get out of the car. All right, everybody put your church face on. Like everything's perfect. And you know, a lot of us individually do that on some level a lot of the time. And I just want you to understand what I'm saying this morning. I'm not saying you need to come to church and air it all out. I'm saying that you need brothers and sisters in the Lord that you can be real with. You need to have a community. You need to have some relationships where you are comfortable to share your burdens and your struggles and where other people can share theirs with you. That's the community of grace. And that's the way that it's supposed to be. See, we don't want anybody to know if we're struggling financially or we're having trouble in our marriage or we're addicted to pornography. We don't want anybody to know if we're struggling spiritually, just feeling dry. We don't want anybody to know if we're depressed. We don't want anybody to know if we feel lonely. I mean, we know better. We shouldn't feel lonely. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And so we just hide it. I want to tell you, we need the community of grace. And even if you're tempted with pride to think you don't, remember that somebody else does, that you can help somebody else. We all have weaknesses and faults and flaws and struggle. We need the prayers and the strength, encouragement of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's an interesting story about Moses when he went up on the mountain and he was in the presence of God. When he came back down, the glory of God was shining on his face so bright that he put a veil over his face. But what's really interesting to me is that the Bible tells us that when the glory faded, when it was gone, Moses still wore the veil. And there are a lot of Christians that are just wearing a veil. They're wearing a face because they're not where they once were with God. They're not in a good place. They're struggling, but they're still wearing the veil. They put on the face and act like everything's the same. It shouldn't be that way, church. We need to be real with our brothers and sisters. It's in the community of grace, the church, that we can experience the love of God through others. As you know, this is normally, most of the time, how you experience the love of God. I mean, I've felt the love of God at times in my life, just felt the love of God in a powerful way. But day by day by day, we experience the love of God through our brothers and sisters. When we love one another, God is right there in our midst. We just need to understand how powerful that is. But in John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another." That's the proof that we're real and that we're genuine, is that we love one another. Get this. The proof is not that we have it all together. We got to get this right. What proves that we really are Jesus' disciples is that we love one another the way that he loved us. That's the proof. See, that doesn't tell people, oh, they go to church, they're religious. It tells people that Jesus is real, that we are one of his disciples. In this community of grace, we all find acceptance regardless of our background, our social status, our education, our race. It doesn't matter what our faults, our problems. One man put it this way: we came from dirt. There's white dirt, red dirt, yellow dirt, brown dirt, black dirt. We all came from the same place. We all came from dirt. Aren't you special? The point is, we all come by the grace of God. He made us all. And we need to remember that this grace is for everybody. This community of grace. Doesn't matter what your walk of life is. Doesn't matter who your parents are. Nobody's going to stand before God one day and say, "Now, you know, Lord, my parents, they were big into church." I mean, nope. Nobody's going to say that. Nobody's going to start spouting their pedigree. Nobody's going to stand before him and say, "I did this and I did that." I already told you about the ones that tried that. Jesus said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." We all come by God's grace. Romans 15 and 7, it says, "Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." In the NIV it says, "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." How did he receive me? How did he accept me? Just as I am. Without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me. Just as I am. That's the only way you can come. Just as I am. And that's the only way they can come to Jesus. Just as they are. That's how we reach people. And when we come into our church, our growth group, or your youth group, they need to feel love and acceptance. It helps them to feel the love and acceptance from God. Real quiet in here right now. All of us come just as we are. And that acceptance in the community of grace, it brings a sense of belonging. That it opens people's heart to be able to be ministered to and be able to receive. And there's such a tremendous need for that in our world. Church needs to be a place where people can come and find meaningful relationships and friendships that help them overcome and live for God. People that'll stand with you when you're in a battle. People that encourage you when you're down. People that'll just be there when you're going through a time of sorrow. That's what this community of grace is. We all need that. There's some people, you know, pride gets in the way. And I've heard it many, many, many times. I don't need it. I'm good on my own. Deceived. They need the truth. The truth is, the scripture says, none of us can say to another part of the body, I don't need you. We all need the body of Christ. And it is a lie from the pit of hell to mess people up that you don't need anybody. All of us. We got faults and flaws and shortcomings. And here's the thing. You see, if we're going to really be a part of a community of grace, well, you're going to be around imperfect people. Look in the mirror. Just saying. But if you're going to be part of a community of grace, you're going to have to forgive and forbear because they're imperfect. And the Bible commands us to forgive and forbear. In fact, if you're going to have any long-lasting relationship with anybody, anywhere, anytime, you're going to have to forgive sooner or later. But a lot of people are not in church today because there was a grievance, there was something that happened, and they were not willing to forbear or forgive. In the community of grace, this is what we do. We love one another. We forgive one another. We forbear with one another. James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Another translation says, confess your faults. Now, the word healed there is the same word that sometimes is translated as saved or whole, made whole or delivered. I just need to understand that sometimes we need to confess our faults, confess our sins to our brother and sister, you know, somebody that we're close to in the body of Christ, so they can pray for us, so we can be made whole, so we can get free, so we can be healed. We need that. Oh, no, I just tell it to Jesus. Yeah, I get you. I know what the scripture says. It says we're supposed to pray for one another. I'm not talking about confessing your sins to a priest so you can be forgiven. I'm not even talking about confessing your sins to one another so you can be forgiven. You confess them to God and He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm talking about you getting free. I'm talking about you getting victory. I'm talking about you overcoming. I'm talking about you having the strength to press on. You pray for one another. That's what we do. In the community of grace, we help one another. See, we all need spiritual friends. Ecclesiastes 4:10, if one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. This is God's design for the church, is that we help one another in the community of grace. God doesn't want somebody to fall, be in a struggle, a battle, and have no one to help. And here's the thing. Sometimes people say, well, I went through this and nobody helped me. Let me tell you what happened. You didn't have the relationships. A lot of the time, nobody even knows what's going on with people. A lot of the time, I find out about what happened with somebody 6 months or a year later. But I'm just telling you, we got to have relationships in the body of Christ where we share with one another and we pray with one another and we encourage one another. We're a community of grace. People who have been saved by grace. And when we invite people to church, we're inviting them to a community of grace. We talk to people about the Lord. We ought to be talking to them about the message of grace. Paul called it the message of reconciliation. You know, when someone's reconciled, the relationship is restored. The message of reconciliation is about that you can be reconciled to God. The relationship between you and God can be restored. You can have a real relationship with God. How? Because of the grace of God. This is our message for the world. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. We're all worried about their sins. I want to tell you, God is taking care of their sins. On the cross, just like you and I, they're forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's our message. The message of reconciliation. That's not the message that the world so often is hearing from the church at large. The main message the world is hearing from the church in America today is, you're bad and the things you do are bad. That's not our message. It's true. They're bad and the things they're doing is bad. That's not our message. Our message is the message of reconciliation, that God loves you, that Jesus died on the cross so you could have a relationship with God, and he wants you. Amen. I want to tell you, a lot of the time, Christians don't sound much different than the Pharisees. They just point the finger and tell other people how bad they are and how wrong they are. We need to be telling them instead about a God who loves them in spite of what they've done. That's our God. That's how we got saved. The message of grace is such good news. We can't keep it to ourselves. It's for everybody. 1 John 2:2, he's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Not just some, the sins of the whole world. It's for everybody. It's such good news. Acts 20 and 24, Paul says, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish my race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Gospel means good news. We need to talk to people about the good news of God's grace. It's such good news. God's grace. That he loves them. That he's paid the price for their sin. Don't talk to them about doctrine. Don't tell them everything they're doing wrong and how they need to change. We're supposed to be fishers of men. Here's a really great deal when you go fishing. You catch fish and somebody else cleans them. I like that idea. I mean, the fishing part is fun. The cleaning part is not so fun. I mean, if you enjoy that part, good for you. I think there's something wrong with you. But anyway, this is a great deal. We catch them, he cleans them. This is the way it works. This is the way it has always worked, only way it will ever work. We catch them, but he cleans them. Now, even the catching, we all know it's God that uses us. But that's our part. Our part is not cleaning. I mean, there's some cleaning that takes place at church through the washing of the water of the word. Jesus is cleaning, sanctifying his church. That's scriptural. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit that cleans people up. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts of sin and changes hearts and lives. Our part is to bring them to Jesus. Now, here's the really weird thing. It's not just that a lot of times Christians try to clean people up. It's really weird. You can't clean fish before you catch them. That's just dumb. And you can't tell people, you know, if you would clean up your life, you can come to church and be a Christian like me. You need to clean up your life. Stop that. talk to them about Jesus and the grace of God and the price He paid, that He wants to reconcile them and bring them into relationship with Himself. And listen, I get this. We're not accepting their sin when we accept them any more than He accepts our sin. But we accept them and we love them and we bring them to Jesus and let Jesus clean them up. Amen. Let Jesus save them. Did you know when people get saved, their life is changing? It's powerful. We just got to get them to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:15, all this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. I love this. Here's how it was in the early church. The grace that is reaching more and more people. What? Grace was reaching more and more people, causes thanksgiving to overflow to God. I believe it still works to reach more and more people. We're inviting them to come and hear His message of grace. We're inviting them to come and be a part of a community of grace. And I know that some here this morning, you need God's grace. Some here this morning, you're not where you should be with the Lord. Some here this morning, you know there's things in your life that God is dealing with you about. Some of you here this morning, you've been trying to earn your way, pay your way. It won't ever happen. God's grace. Amazing grace. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.